Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing?
Great.
Turkey's in the oven?
No.
Not yet. You better hurry up. It's a real pleasure and honor to be here. Thank you, Julie, for a beautiful introduction. So this is a topic that piques much interest, yet it's one of those things that's not discussed so often. Outside the Lubavitch community. And that is the topic of Mashiach and Achrit Yamim. About 10 years ago, my students at Stern College, I'm a full-time faculty, approached me and asked me questions, and I put together some classes which morphed into a 26-part course, and eventually, God willing, in the next few weeks, a book that will be delivered. There are handouts if anyone wants it on the... Judy, if you could give out some handouts to more of the people. The book will be available in a few weeks, Ms. Hashem, on this topic. So what I've done for you is I've taken a 26-part course and crunched it into 45 minutes. You're welcome.
Good luck.
If you want to, we have sheets, source sheets are available. I'll be using that as a backdrop, but if you don't want to look inside, that's also okay. Let's start with who, where, what, and why. What is this topic of Mashiach? What's it about? So let's talk about Jewish history. The Gemara tells us that the world, as a maximum, can exist, I said it specifically, can exist for 6,000 years. All of Jewish history is divided into three sections: 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. The first 2,000, says the Gemara, are Tova Vohu, the world was unfertilized physically and spiritually as well. Comes along Avram Avinu towards the end of that period, into the second of the 2,000 period, and he brought Torah, and that's when the Torah was given. The last 2,000, says Gemara, are the 2,000 of Mashiach. So we have, says the Ramban, 6,000 years that the world can exist as it is. Now, we're in the Jewish year 5778, which means we're getting pretty close. What I want to show you today is that 6,000 is an outer time, but the prophet Isaiah tells us there is also an inner time as well, that we have the ability to bring Mashiach in. So we shall get there. By the way, the hint to the 6,000 years is actually in the first verse of the Torah, the Bible, where it says, Bereishit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. In that first verse, say the Kabbalists, appears the letter Aleph six times. Now the letter Aleph, when you spell it out, is Aleph, Lamed, and Defei, which also spells out Aleph if you change the vowels. So Aleph is Aleph, same letters in the same order with different vowelization. Say the rabbis, Vilna Gaon among them, that the world is going to last for 6,000 years, is part of creation. This wasn't a latter thought that just came out. Okay, the world was created. God knew full well that the world would exist as it is till we get to Achrit Yamim, and I'll translate those words in a second. Has to go through 6,000 years as a maximum, as an outer time, before we reach Yomot HaMashiach, which is going to be the topic of today's discussion. Now, Achrit Yamim is actually referred to the Torah Devarim. Achrit Yamim is usually translated as end of days. Right, and the Christians love to talk about the end of days and the rapture, and that's not today's discussion. For us, it's not the end of days, it's the days that are yet to come. That's what we're talking about. The days that are on their way, that we, my friends, are getting very, very close to, as I'll show you from the prophets and elsewhere. And the Maharal of Prague talks about these 6,000 years, and he says, really, 6,000 means we reach a time of completion. Everything we're seeing today, as we're going to see, is preparing us for the end of days, for Achrit Yamim, when Mashiach will come. So what is this idea? Is it mainstream Judaism? Do we have to believe this idea of Mashiach? It's not mentioned in the Bible. It may be hinted at in the five books of Moses, but it's not mentioned explicitly. Says the Rambam, absolutely. Absolutely. We have 13 principles of faith, according to the Rambam. And number 12 is, which I'm sure you remember from singing at your NCSY Shabbatons, Ani Ma'amin. I believe with a perfect faith the coming of Mashiach. And even though he delays and may tarry, even with that, I anticipate his arrival every single day that he should arrive. And actually, one of the six questions that we are asked when we go to Olam HaEmet, to the next world, says the Gemara, is, did you anticipate, Sipita Yeshua, that every day did you anticipate the coming of the Messiah? Why this should be is a very, very good question. Principle number 13, of course, is Tchiyat HaMeitim, which is not today's discussion, but will happen after Mashiach comes. We're on page 2. Let's have a look at it. Now, the Rambam is going to be, whenever you talk about Mashiach, you jump to the Rambam. Why is this? Why are we always moving into the Rambam when we talk about Mashiach? The simple answer is, because he's really the only one who paskened Hilchot Mashiach. The Rambam is the one who went through, if you remember, the Mishnah Torah. He's the only person in Jewish history, which itself is like mind-bending, that actually took the entire Talmud and all of Jewish thought and condensed it and put it into one set of books. And said, this is all you need to know. In that book of Mishnah Torah, set of books, he stops and says, let's talk about Mashiach. Does anyone know where the Rambam starts talking about Mashiach? In which chapter? Hilchot Shema, Hanukkah, Purim, Hilchot Melachim, the laws of kings. That's when he stops and starts talking about. And by the way, the Rambam is the only one that discusses this. Meaning that if you want to go to Hilchot Mashiach and the various verifications which we're going to see today that will prove he is the Mashiach, you got to look at the Rambam, because no one else actually did it. So he's the one we shall go to for that. Okay? Let's look at the words of the Rambam himself as he discusses this topic of Mashiach. And he says, V'shiyamin, a person must believe, it is a principle of our faith, that Mashiach will be better, malav akobed al-kol malachim, more than any other king. That's why the Rambam's discussing in the books of kings, in Hilchot, the laws of Malachim. Because what's going to happen, my friends, is that kingship is going to return to the Jewish people. This is very, very important. Those who follow on page 2 at the top. Kingship is going to return. There was kingship, originally the tribe of Binyamin, for whatever reason that shifted to the tribe of Yehuda. Talk about that in a few minutes. And will continue in that vein until the great, 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 great grandson of King David, hence the expression Mashiach ben David, is going to come and to reveal himself. More about that in a second. But he's going to be better, greater than all of the kings that have preceded him. This is based upon the prophecy of all the prophets from Moshe Rabbeinu until Malachi, until Malachi. As we're going to see his words a little bit better. Kol avim Moshe Rabbeinu ad Malachi. Umishe spachet bo unitmad etzlo. And one who doubts this, does not appreciate his greatness, denies everything in the Torah, says the Rambam. You are outside of the Jewish faith. This is so central to who we are as a people, says the Rambam. You don't accept this concept, hence him putting in the 30 principles of faith. You're outside, he says. This is all hints at that in the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam, of course, in the Tzavim. This is what we have to believe. By the way, he'll be a great prophet as well, which means that we're going to see that prophecy is going to return to the Jewish people. Although, as I always like to say, the Jewish people are no longer a prophet organization, as we all know too well. However, prophecy is going to return, my friends. And not only that, prophecy is going to return before Mashiach comes. And I shall prove that to you. Who is going to be the announcer of the Mashiach? Eliyahu HaNavi. And he's going to have a very important role laying the land in preparation for Mashiach. Actually, according to one opinion, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be the one who's going to help return all the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And he's going to come out. He is a Navi. Well, one second. So if Eliyahu HaNavi is announcing Mashiach, that must mean that prophecy will return to the Jewish people before Mashiach comes. And actually, that's a given. Because in order to know that he actually is Mashiach, we're going to have a Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin are going to be appointed. And they're going to have prophets among them who are going to declare that he is the Mashiach. And Joel, the prophet, as we'll see a little bit later, is actually going to turn around and say, not only are great people going to prophesy, but everyone's going to prophesy. You and your wives and your children. Everyone's going to have prophecy. It's going to return to all of us. And don't think that's so strange. Because we have historical precedents for this. Anyone know where everyone prophesied? Kriyas Yamsuf, we know. Right? Even the Lo Shivcha, says the Gemara, had revelations on the level of Yechezbel ben Buzi. So prophecy will return to everyone. In order for that, one second, my friend, in order for that to happen, something unbelievable is going to have to transpire. in order to return prophecy, of which Mashiach is going to be, and the Aliyah Navi is also going to be, and everyone's going to have to be as well for some reason. We're all, and our children as well are going to have prompt prophets as well. You need to have a couple of things in the world. Number one, the prophet has to be in the land of Israel when he receives his prophecy. Now, there have been a couple of exceptions to that rule. For example, anybody? Jonah, right? He had to go to Nineveh, which was Chutz La'aretz. So they say true, but he actually received his prophecy in Israel, and then he went out to get it. So even he, right, and Elisha Eliyahu as well, they received their prophecies in Israel and then went out to give the prophecies. But the rule still stands. What's amazing, my friends, which most people are not aware of, is that in order to have prophecy returned to the Jewish people, you need something which has not existed among the Jewish people for over 2,000 years that we are on the cusp of right now. And that is, you need the majority of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. You see, when a prophet spoke, they just wake up, whoop, I'm a prophet, and go do this, don't do that, do tshuva. It didn't work like that. The prophet channeled the people. You see, many times, many great people had prophecy blocked from them because the people around them were not behaving. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was blocked from him. Yaakov Avinu's prophecy was blocked from him. Why? They were great people. And their level was not diminished. But the people around them were diminished, and therefore they weren't channeling the prophecy. And therefore, in order to have this return of prophecy we're talking about, which is a prerequisite to Mashiach coming, a prerequisite, you must have 50.00001% of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Strangely enough, and I don't want to get into this right now, but one of the ways to bring Mashiach, which itself is a whole revelation, who says you'll be able to bring Mashiach? God decides the time. Well, in this case, not exclusively. The power is in our hands. Power is in our hands. But they don't say moving to Israel is one of the ways to bring Mashiach. I don't know why. They mention a number of other certain mitzvot which can expedite the Messiah's arrival. And they go into it. Shabbat, Bein Amlach Avero, No Lashon Hara, right? Avat Yisrael. They do mention a number of things that are able to bring Mashiach. Moving to Israel is not one of them. That withstanding, prophecy, you need to have majority of the Jewish people. Interestingly, we are, I believe, Bibi Netanyahu about 4 years ago stood on the tarmac in Ben Gurion Airport as a Nefesh B'Nefesh flight came in and said, we're now reached the point there are more Jews in Israel than outside of Israel. I don't know how true that is. I'm not sure if that's very, very true. But we are definitely getting much, much closer. Okay? And we pray for this every day, whether you realize it or not. We say in our Shemona Esrei, Et Semach David Avdra Mehera Tasmiach. Right? May God speedily cause the offspring. Now, Tzemach means to sprout, to blossom, is a little translation. Now, Chazal use a number of different metaphors to describe the Mashiach. Agricultural is one of them. Right? Labor pains is another. We'll get to that. But agricultural, one of them is the idea of Tzmicha. What is the idea of blossoming? Why would that be used? Why would Chazal really home in on this agricultural idea of us? So think about it. What brings out a plant? You put the seed in the ground, it sits there, and nobody sees it. And then it rots, and it just stays. And then ever so slowly, a little sprout comes up, which turns to a shoot, which rises above the soil, and then bam, there's a flower, you have a tree, you have fruit. It's a slow, and this, again, this is more of a commonality between, among all the metaphors. It's going to be slow, and you're like, it's never going to come. This flower's never going to come. This baby's never going to come out. But in the end, as the doctor told my wife when she was in labor for 36 hours, I've never met a baby that wants to stay in there. They all eventually want to come out. Hence the expression, Chevli HaMashiach, the birth pains of Mashiach. What is that expression? What about Chazal trying to convey to us by using this expression is that it seems like it's never going to end. And the pain is going to get worse and worse and worse. And right for the end, it comes out. Okay, so we pray for it every single day. What's the Mashiach's name? Is his name Mashiach? Is that his name? Anybody? Let's have a look. The Gemara asked this question. Why even ask the question? Who cares what his name is? Right? Harry? Right? Uri? What's the difference? Why do we care about this? So there's a general idea, right through Judaism, names of people and things, by the way, but that's not for now, represent the neshama of that thing. Actually, the word for a soul in Hebrew is neshama, and the middle letters are shame. Neshama shame, because your name is an essence, it's an expression of who you are. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the various names of Hashem, right? The Yud, with the Hey, Haya, Hove, Yihyeh, past, present, future, contracted. We learn about Hashem through names. You know about yourself, and that's why many of you, your grandparents or great aunt or whatever, why do we do that? Why do we pass names down? The idea is the person's neshama is being passed down through you to that person. Okay? So names are very, 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 a very big deal in Jewish thought. So the Gemara says, what's the name of Mashiach? Meaning, what can I glean about this individual, his mission, his personality, that will come by knowing that? So Rashi says, Mashiach is a reference to Sarara. He's going to be a great leader. Mashiach, his name is not Mashiach. Right? That's not going to be his name. There are people with that name, but that's not his name. He says it's a reference to leadership. Now the word Mashiach literally means, anybody? Anointing. Because Mashiach is going to be a king. And in order to become a king, the prophet would take a horn, fill it with olive oil, add to it some of the olive oil that Moshe Rabbeinu himself pressed and was secreted at some point in history, and add a drop to that oil, so the king, the Mashiach, felt a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu and leadership right through history. And he would take that horn and he would pour it, just like Shmuel HaNavi did, right, the head of Shaul and David, and pour it into the shape of a crown upon the head. And oil always represents separation and elevation and uplifting. Okay. But interesting enough, Shaul HaMelech was not anointed with a horn, a keren. A keren is an idea of power, keren David, the power of David. He was actually anointed with a vessel. And that's why Shaul HaMelech's kingship did not last. But David and Shlomo's did. They're anointed with olive oil from a horn. Okay. So that's Rashi on the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. Moshe, he will be a great leader. Turn over the page. There's actually a very interesting dispute. There were four schools of thought, says the Gemara, in Sanhedrin. There talks about Mashiach. And the question is, Mashemoi, what is his name going to be? Debe Rav Shila, the Beta Medrash of Rav Shila, said his name is Shiloh. Rabbi Yanai's yeshiva says Yinun, like someone said. Rabbi Chanina said his name is going to be Chanina. And others say Menachem ben Chizkiah, which makes the Lubavitchers very excited when they hear that. Right? Now look at those four words. We have Menachem, Shiloh, Yunun, Chanina. Take the first four letters and you get Mashiach. So Mashiach is an acronym. It's an acronym. Let's look at those four names and what they reveal to us. Let's start with Shiloh. Now Shiloh is actually the name given by Yaakov Avinu when he's talking, gave a bracha to Yehuda, who's going to become the great-great-great-grandfather of the tribe of Yehuda, obviously, and kingship in general. And he says that the Shevet, the scepter, will not leave until Shiloh comes. So Shiloh, we already see in the Torah, is hinted at as a name. Shiloh is Shai, which is a gift low to him. A gift to him. Why? Because he's going to be a gift to the world. And many, many rulers from the entire world, non-Jews leaders, are going to come and bring gifts to him when he establishes his kingship over Jerusalem, Israel, and the entire world. Shiloh, Shai, Lo. Yanun means to endure. He's going to have a permanent fixture. Kingship will not disappear from the Jewish people ever again. And the word yin means fish, according to Chazal. Yin is fish, yinun is yin, fish. Why? Because we're going to see a big explosion of population in the world before Mashiach comes. One of the prerequisites is going to be a population explosion. Why? We're not too sure. But seemingly, is going to be an important part of his coming. Chanina comes from Chain. He's going to be extremely graceful, very charming, and bring Chain to the entire world. As the Rambam says, and he's fairly unique in this, there's going to be no changes in the world once Mashiach comes, except no more war, no more bloodshed, No more anti-Semitism. They're going to leave us alone. You know what? If that's all that happens, dayenu. Right? That's Hanina. And some say Menachem ben Chizkiah. Says his name's going to be Menachem. So Menachem is, he's going to be Menachem. We've spent thousands of years in exile. We've seen countless pogroms and holocausts and exiles. And he's going to come and he's going to bring consolation to the Jewish people and to the entire world, as all disputes and wars will come to a final end. And the Jewish people are going to get to settle in the land of Israel, all of it safely. Fascinating. Each one of these rabbis gave a name that was connected to their own name. Did you see that? Yeah. We had Shila said Shiloh. Rabbi Yanai says Yinon, same Shosh. Chanina said Chanina, and Menachem said Menachem. What's that about? Well, they just saw themselves as Mashiach? No. Says the Maharal of Prague, an unbelievable thing. And by the way, this is probably miraculous, more miraculous than anything else is going to happen. You could bring the temple down from heavens in fire, and this will still be greater than that. Everyone is going to see themselves in Mashiach. You see, a great leader isn't someone who comes along as a dictator and tells everyone, worship me, follow me, I'm the leader. They're going to want to reach out to him because they're going to see a reflection of themselves in him. They're going to be like, it's Menachem because I see myself as part of who he is. And everyone's going to say, he's from our community. The Satmar's going to say, he's the Satmar. And the Sephardim are going to say, what are you talking? He's Sephardi. Listen to how he talks. No, no, no. He's Lubavitch. No, he's a general Ashkenazi from the Five Towns. Whatever it is. We're all going to look to him and see his reflected. By the way, where else in history do we see a great person have the same reaction? Esther Malka did not reveal her origins, and everyone said, oh, she's one of us. She's a Median. She's a Babylonian. No, she's a Persian. Or whatever it was. They all saw themselves reflected in her and loved her because of it, because people like people from their own community, right? We feel more of a connection to come from us. And that's one of the amazing things about Mashiach. Every single Jew is going to agree, look at him and say, he's one of us. Now that's miraculous, right? If you want, forget everything else. Forget the third temple on Harabayat, right? That's a second just for that, okay? Another name, interestingly enough, says the Gemara, is Bar Nafli. Right, Bar Nafli is another name given to Mashiach. Okay, Rav Yitzchak in the Gemara says Bar Nafli. What is Bar Nafli? Bar is son Nafal of the one that fell over. What's that a reference to? To Sukkah David Hanufalet. You may have heard that expression. And they say that kingship, this is actually a reference to kingship. Just like a sukkah gets taken down, okay, in my case maybe a few days too late according to my wife, and then it gets erected very quickly, so too the sukkah of David, meaning the Beit HaMikdash and kingship of King David, fell and stayed down, but very quickly will get built up. So the whole thing, again, we see this again, it's going to be no movement, no movement, no movement, and then bang, it's up, ready to go. Just like a sukkah can get picked up and built very, very quickly. Okay, that's sukkah David Hanufal. Let's see the Rambam again in Sanhedrin. He says, Aval Yamoto Mashiach, bottom of page 3, those are following. Aval Yamoto Mashiach, whose man shebo tachso malchut Israel, kingship's going to return. V'yachzru l'eretz Yisrael, return to Israel via Ota Melech. And this king, Ha'omed Malchut Tzion, is going to make, this is important. He can't just make his kingship wherever he wants. He can't become King Mashiach in Florida, right? In Miami, although that's where most of the Jews are anyway. Right? He can't just make it wherever he wants. He's got to make it in Eretz Yisrael, and his kingship must be in Yerushalayim. And the Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to say in a couple of moments, must be built on Har HaBayit, exactly where it's meant to be. Exactly. And he's going to have to use a prophetic ability, like Ezra did when the second temple was rebuilt, to tell us exactly where stuff goes. Mizbeach goes over there. Kodesh Kedoshim, that's over there. Ketoret goes over there. Everything's going to have to be positioned perfectly and absolutely in the right place. By the way, Sion. What is the word Sion? Zion? Zionist? Hello? Very nice. Yeah. It comes from the Hebrew. It's actually used to refer to Yerushalayim, then all of Eretz Yisrael. It comes from the word Mitsuyan, which means beautiful and wonderful and excellent. Yeah. Is that nice? If you're a Zionist, you believe Eretz Yisrael is just absolutely beautiful and wonderful. All right? So that's where he's going to do it. Says the Rambam, he has to become famous. He's not going to sit in his base medrash studying. He's going to do that for many years. Right? He's going to be a normal person, as we know, of flesh and blood. No son of God, although his mother may think he is. Right? He's going to have to grow as a normal individual. He's going to get married. He's going to have to deal with all of that. Deal with the in-laws. You can't become a leader unless you deal with in-laws. Right? It's like, it's not possible. He's going to have to build a whole community, and his fame is going to spread very, very quickly throughout the entire world. Says the prophet Isaiah, like a star through the heavens. From one of the heavens, says Yeshaya Navi, like a kochav to the other end of the heavens. And that's the Ramban. Says the Ramban, he's going to be world famous. Everyone is going to know who he is. And with the advent of the internet, that can happen in moments. Right? Absolute moments. Yes. No. Mashiach ben Yosef is another discussion. That's not for now. That's in my book, available on Amazon.com. Shameless plug. This is Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is a different mission. He may have to die in war, as we'll see, against a certain general called Armelus. We're not talking about him. According to Rav Kook, Mashiach ben Yosef isn't even a person. It's a time. So we're talking Mashiach ben David, the ultimate Mashiach. Okay? He's going to become extremely famous. Even more so than Shlomo HaMelech. Now we know Shlomo HaMelech is the high point of Jewish history. Right? He was loved and visited by people far and wide who loved him. He's going to be more wise than him with greater prophecy. However, we are told by the Rambam that Mashiach will have be second in prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu. No one trumps Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't beat Moshe. Right? It's not going to work that way. Why not? Because Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Torah. Right? And that's everlasting. The other books of the prophet, says the Rambam, in Hilchot Megillah. Now why he says it in the Laws of Purim is fascinating. It says right at the end that all of the books of the prophets will become obsolete once Mashiach comes. We don't need them anymore. Why did all the prophets talk? Actually, there were many, many more prophets. The one we have now in our 24 books came along because they have what to say about Mashiach coming. But once he's come, that's it. Dayenu. I don't need him. Except Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther, says the Rambam, will always exist together with the five books of Moses, because inside Megillat Esther is the truth about Mashiach era. So if you want to know about Mashiach, study Purim. It's all there, says the Rambam. Okay? The nations of the world are going to make peace with him, says the Rambam. Maybe not initially. There could be a war that we all heard called Gog and Magog, which may have to happen. Some say we were possibly Yossi with the Second World War. There are modern great leaders that have said that, but that's not for now. And any bad decree, this is a very general but important rule, any bad prophecy that is given does not need to happen. We can do teshuva and wipe it away. But any positive prophecy that something good is going to happen must happen. It's a principle of our faith. Okay, that's very, very important information. Okay, so Mashiach must come, but with all the wars that are predicted of the prophets, do they need to happen? Not necessarily. We can, through our own actions, behavior, and teshuva, avert the decree. Hence we get to Hilchot Teshuva, and the Rambam carries on talking about Mashiach in Hilchot Teshuva, and he says HaMelech Shemon Mezerah David, this king that will descend from King David will be wise in Shlomo HaMelech. His level of prophecy will approach Karov L'Moshe Rabbeinu. There it is, page 4, Karov L'Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why he will instruct the entire Jewish people in the Derech Hashem, V'yavo kol ha-goyim, and all the non-Jews are going to come, as the prophet says, V'yabachat yamim, the end of days, Nachon Yahar Beit Hashem Barosh Harim, God's temple will be above, upon all the mountain, the greatest mountain, Har Abayit, V'nisam G'var V'narela kol ha-goyim, and all the people that are come like rivers, they're going to come swarming in to see this great individual and to get guidance from him. V'holchu amim rabim, and many, many people are going to come to him, and eventually we're going to see the house of God, that we'll be able to walk in his ways. That's Yeshaya, Isaiah the prophet, chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. Okay. I want to jump a little bit, if that's okay with you. I want to go to a little bit of Kabbalah, just for a moment, and then we'll do a nice checklist to see if we found the Mashiach. Page 5. The Abar Benel, who wrote a very brilliant commentary on the book of Daniel, and Daniel Hanavi, was one of two people who knew when Mashiach was coming, by the way. Daniel was one of them. Yaakov was the other. Right, we all know about Vayechi. It was closed off because he was going to reveal the end times to his sons. He was prevented from doing that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw him, closed off the parasha, say that his prophecy was removed from him. He wasn't permitted to do that. But Daniel HaNavi was one of those people who also knew. And Abarbanel over there and elsewhere talks about this King David and says that he will be a descendant of King David. Now, by the way, he's going to have to prove this. He's going to have to prove that he is a ben, acha ben, acha ben, acha ben, son after son of son of King David. How's he going to do this?
DNA
testing. Funny you say that. Because I actually, just my wife and I were very into our heritage. Just did that 23andMe thing. You know, the you spit in the thing and they give you the whole genetics. My wife came back 99.3% Ashkenazi Jew. And very... And I got 99% Middle Eastern, North African. Funny that, you see that. Although she did get 0.3% Kut. Some Russian Mongolian tribe. You know what? The family doesn't want to talk about it. Let's just let it go. Something happened. Great grandmother. Let's not talk about it. It could be. It could be. However, Chazal don't say that because they weren't privy to that information. Although it is interesting, right? However, they say you'd have to produce a Sefer Yochsin, a book of heritage, of ancestry. You have to prove, right? Now, such books were prevalent among the Jewish people. However, because of the Holocaust, many of these books were lost. There is a guy in Muncie that I know, an Argentinian Jew, who actually has one of these that shows his father, all the way back right through to the Rishonim, through the Acharon, to the Rishonim, to the Gaonim, and right to the Adam HaRishon. Bit of a stretch that, but he has this thick book. So somebody's going to have to prove somehow that he is. Now we have tradition that the Maharal of Prague said that he's the descendant of Rashi. And Rashi had a tradition that he's the descendant of Mashiach. So it could be there are various signposts along the way that this individual, and he's going to have to do this. He's got to be a descendant of David HaMelech. He's going to have to prove it, that he is Ben HaBen for David HaMelech. And if that's genetic or prophetic, we're not sure. But such books did exist and do to some degree exist as well. Says the Abarnel, not only that, he's going to be a reincarnation of David HaMelech himself. Okay, so David HaMelech himself is going to come and become a Mashiach. That's the Abarbanel, Don Isaac Abarbanel from Spain, 1400s. That's his opinion over here. Of Abali HaKabbalis, according to Kabbalah. But if you don't believe in reincarnation, you don't have to. Right? It's a Kabbalistic concept and not a principle of our faith. You've got to believe in Mashiach. You've got to believe in Olam Haba. You've got to believe in Zechariah and Onesh. You've got to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest prophet. You've got to believe the words of the prophets. You don't have to believe in reincarnation. Unless you're Sephardi. Then you have to. Right? Right. Avalbara Kabbalah, Shekaim of a Kiblu Das Gilgana. Those who believe in Gilgana Fashot, Om Shemelech Mashiach, yet David Atzmo, David HaMelech himself is coming back. Don't ask what that means. I'm not a Kabbalist. If I was, I'd be charging a lot more for this talk. Now, Zizai the prophet goes further and says, chapter 11, verse 2, the Mashiach is going to have six qualities. Let's look at these six qualities. Right, V'nachal of Ruach, he's going to have the spirit of Chochmah is going to be upon him. Ubina, an understanding. Ruach Eitzah, spirit of counsel. Ugvura, strength. He's going to be a powerful individual. Ruach Dat is going to have Dat, the Yirat Hashem, and a great fearer of God. Okay? He's going to have to follow the Torah, do the mitzvot, be learned, Yerushimayim, Gvura, and communicating, out there, helping, counseling, bringing Jewish thought and the love of Torah mitzvot to the entire Jewish people and eventually the whole world. Not that the world becomes Jewish. Many of my students think, do all the non-Jews become Jewish? I'm like, that can't be because someone's got to buy retail. However, they will, says the Rambam, forget their religions, realize, says the Rambam, that their fathers and their teachers sold them a bill of false goods, gods, and the religions will disappear and they will all become monotheists. They do not need to come Mashiach. Although, there is a tradition that right before Mashiach comes, we're going to see a lot of converts return to the Jewish people, and that window will be open for a short amount of time, and at some point the door closes, and no more converts. Right? Just like at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they didn't accept converts because the Jewish people were doing so well. In the time of David HaMelech, they didn't accept converts, for the most part, because everyone was scared of the Jewish people. So we were skeptical of the motivation to become Jewish. So there will be a moment before Mashiach comes, many will come. And you see, like every synagogue, there's always like a few converts, right? Ideal in Jewish outreach, there's many, many who are wanting to join our people. Okay? Okay. Now, in order to do all this, this is not an ordinary individual, he's a prophet. Now, what type of prophecy is he going to have? Now, here's going to get a little strange, but check this out. Isaiah the prophet says, turn over the page 6, that Mashiach will be able to have a supernatural form of prophecy. Says Isaiah the prophet, Vericho b'yirat Hashem. He's going to be, if you look at the translation, animated, a very animated individual. Right? Very animated. V'lo mara enav yishpot. He's not a judge by his eyes. V'lo l'shmishmar aznav yochiach. And not through his ears will he make decisions. Say the commentators, what's Isaiah talking about? If you're not judging what you see and what you hear, what's left? So he says, Vericho. That's what the prophet says from Reach. He's going to have a sense of smell. He's going to have a sense of smell. That's where his prophecy is going to come from. That's how they understand it. Okay? That's what Rava says. Rava Amar, the Morech Doin. He's going to smell and judge. Now, why smell? So this goes back to another concept, which is about Gan Eden. We know that mankind was cursed in Gan Eden, and all of our senses were involved in that. We heard, and we saw the tree, we heard God's voice, and they tasted the fruit, and they touched the tree, but they didn't smell. See, the Kabbalists, that's why the sense of smell, the olfactory system, is the most purest and spiritual sense that we have, that is untainted by the sin of the chait, of the Eitz Hadas. And therefore, that's power of smell. You know that we still have that. You know, you smell something, it takes you right back. You know, like walking to my kid's school, I smell the detergent on the floor, they used to clean the floors. I'm straight back in the principal's office as a kid. Right? As soon as you get out, oh, I'm there again. Smell takes you right back, it brings you right back. He's gonna use this power. Actually, according to the Gemara, check this out, it's actually gonna be used as a way to determine if he is the Mashiach. And when Bar Kochba, says the Gemara, it's the Gemara, came forward and says, I'm Mashiach. They said, if you're Mashiach, let's see if you have this prophetic sense of smell. And they checked, and he didn't, and they killed him. Or some say they let him die by the hands of the Romans, they didn't protect him, whatever the story is over there. You don't have this prophetic sense of smell, you don't get the job. What's he going to use it for? What is the purpose of his prophecy? So according to Chazal, he's going to need it to determine lineage. Oh, you thought you're Jewish? You're not Jewish. You want to become Jewish? Convert now. You think you're a Cohen? You're not Cohen. You thought you're Israel? You're actually a Cohen. He's going to have to do that. He's going to divide us up by tribes. We're going to have a lot of people trying to get in through the front door. Okay? When Mashiach comes. And it's Mashiach's job. Some say Eliyahu Navi is going to be involved in this to determine the veracity of their lineage claims. Right? There's many tribes out there in the world who claim to come from Jewish heritage. Maybe some are, maybe some aren't. There were divisions along the way. Okay? So that sense of smell. Okay, page 7. It's good stuff, this, no? Isn't it interesting? But I enjoy it because I don't have a social life. This is all I have, alright? This is... Okay. Now you have to buy my book on this topic, alright? I command you. Says the Mashiach in the laws of Malachi, chapter 11, verse 4. How do you know if you found Mashiach? And he says something, I don't know why they don't teach us in yeshiva. I grew up, no one told me any of this. I don't know why. I don't, it's just like mainstream, it's the Rambam, Mishnah Torah. It's the Navi, the Navim are all talking about this. I don't know why. Maybe they're scared of it. I don't know what it is. Says the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim, this is how you know if you found the Mashiach. Check this out. Number one, the Beit David. We spoke of that already, descendant of King David. Number two, Hogeb Torah. He knows his Torah. But number three, not enough to know Torah. There's many universities and non-Jews around the world who know their Bible. That's not sufficient. For Oseg b'mitzvah k'David aviv, he's got to be involved in mitzvah like King David, his great-great-grandfather, and not just any Torah, k'fi Torah b'chtav and bal peh, the written Torah and the oral Torah. He's what we call today a Talmud Chacham. Okay? Got to be a Talmud Chacham. Number four, v'yichkav kol Yisrael lelech ba l'chazek bodka. He's going to have to go and get the Jews to attach to Torah. He's going to be in Kiruv. He can't just be sitting there on his ivory mountain and castle, right, disconnected. He's going to be out there motivating, pushing people. He's a man of the people. V'yilachem milchamot Hashem. And he's going to have to fight the wars of God. Now, what these wars are open to interpretation. Most take as literal. He's going to have to work through battles because Israel and Yerushalayim are going to be attacked and will be under a lot of strain and pressure with the Jewish people being there, those wanting to hurt us, which we're seeing very evidently. And he's going to have to direct the battles. Maybe not like David HaMelech himself on the field of battle, but he'll be involved in that. And he calls these the wars of God. The wars of God. Says the Rambam, if he does those five, Hare ze b'cheska shu Mashiach, you can assume he's Mashiach. But that's not enough. We want absolute proof. And he says, fine. If you want absolute proof, because there have been people who've done a lot of this, and yet weren't Mashiach. They were mechezkat Mashiach, says the Rambam. They had great potential, and as we'll see, there has to be someone on deck all the time for Mashiach, because the redemption come kerif ayin, blink of an eye. And therefore, it's got to be someone ready to go on the job. Do they know the Mashiach? Not necessarily. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know he was Mashiach, the Redeemer of the Jewish people, right? Until he was much, much older. Until he got to the burning bush, right? So you may not know he has this job until he's actually given this particular mission. And there must be someone ready at any given time for that job. Okay? So there's always a chazaka, but now we need a vadai. And the Rambam says, we have a vadai. If he fights these wars and is successful in fighting them, now you're in very solid territory. Urbana Beit HaMikdash Bim Komo, and he builds the Beit HaMikdash in its place. I mean, in its place. Where else can you build it? Build it wherever you want. Build in Haifa, Tel Aviv. No, it's got to be Bim Komo, in its place. Be Midayt Loshon. And finally, the Kabeis Nidre Yisrael, and he gathers the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, Hare Ze Mashiach Bavadai, says the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim, Laws of Mashiach, you found him. You found him.
Where did the Rambam derive this list?
All of this is coming from the prophets. All is coming from the prophets. I can't do it now. I have a list of all the prophecy of the prophets, and it's very clear. And from the Gemara as well. That's what the Rambam did. He conglomerates thousands of years of information, or in his case maybe not thousands, but all the ancient, and puts it together, nice, easy bite. These are the headlines. All this is in the prophets. He ain't making anything up. Ezekiel the prophet talks about the third base of Mikdash, where it's going to be built. We have the designs. Ezekiel gives us the designs of the third base of Mikdash. Where it's going to be, how it's going to be built, how many walls, how many pillars, it's all there. Open your Bible. It's all there. Let's talk about this final one. Yes, my dear.
I'm sorry that it was supposed to come down complete. Is that accurate?
Very, very good. There are two opinions, which I'm not going to get to right now, I'm going to get to in a second, about how Mashiach comes, miraculous or not. Let me talk about that for a second, actually. You'll appreciate the next piece a lot more. The prophet Isaiah tells us, Mashiach will come, be'ito achishena. Be'ito, in his time, achishena, if we bring it. Now, those are actually two contradictory words. They're probably the most two important words when it comes to discussing Mashiach. So I'll say them again. Be'ito, in his time, achishena. Be'ito means there is a definite time the Mashiach must come by. According to many people, according to the Ramban, that is a reference to the outer time of 6,000 that we started this whole talk about. Okay? You with me so far? So that's the Be'ito. However, unlike the other Galiot exiles we've been in, where we couldn't do anything to expedite the redemption, there was a specific, a definite time, like Jeremiah says, 70 years between the first and second temple, right? That's a given. Nothing to do about it. You can try to figure out when that 70 years starts and ends. That you can figure out, and people had different opinions, but 70 years is what it is. When it comes to Mashiach and this final exile, if it's the fourth or fifth exile, I believe we're in the fifth exile, according to the words of Rav Chaim Vital, we'll get to that in a second. We've actually exited the fourth exile, but that's for a moment. Hold on. He says, Achishena, says I the prophet. Achishena means that we have the ability to draw the end close. That's what he means when he says we have to pray every day the Mashiach's going to come. Why is it going to help? He's going to come when he comes. The answer is no. We have the ability to achishena, bring the end closer. That is the power in our hands. How? We'll see. There are certain mitzvot which are conduits to the early redemption of the Jewish people. There are certain ones. Say the commentator something amazing. Those two versions actually are two forms of Mashiach coming. Now, we looked at one already from Isaiah the prophet, like a kochav in Shemayim, like a star in the heavens. Everyone's going to know about it, meaning miraculous. That's the Achishena version. There's another version of Mashiach will be like an oni riding on a chamor on a donkey. That's not very impressive, is it? A king on a donkey? That is the non-miraculous version, which goes with Be'ito in its time. So once again, if we merit Mashiach and are able to achishana, there we will have a miraculous redemption. That will be like the kochav, and the Beit HaMikdash will come down, hold Shalem, and all the other great miracles like we saw coming out of Mitzrayim. But there's another version. If we're not worthy, and it goes full term, if we don't have to be taken out early, because we're doing so badly, like happened in Mitzrayim, that if we don't get out now, says Haggadah, we're not going to be here next year, then we have to follow the Be'ito version, which is the non-miraculous one, and like a Oni al-Chamor. Chamor is Chumriot, a physical. It's going to be more of a physical, more of a mundane, just like the Purim story. Okay? We don't want that version. We want the Pesach miraculous version. Let's talk about the return of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel, which we are seeing is one of the clear proofs, among many others, that we are very, very close to this very important time. Says Isaiah the prophet, Vayabiyom on this day, Shorosh Yishai, the root of Yishai, there is the agricultural phenomenon again, Shamadl Nes Amim, it's going to be like a Nes. What's a Nes? A banner, a flag, right? It's also a miracle, but it's a banner flag. Why? Because when a miracle happens, that space becomes like a banner, a flag to great things that happen over there. Right, like Nes Begiva, it's used a few times. He's going to make a flag of, and everyone's going to see it and know that he is there. And Lanes Amim, I love Goyim Yidrushu, and all the non-Jewish nations, and non-Jewish nations are part of this. It's not just the redemption of the Jewish people; it's the entire world is going to change. Okay, and it's going to gather together the people for all second for the entire world. By Yobahomahu Yosef Hashem Shenis, second time. What's the first time? Mitzrayim. This is the second time, like we say in the Musaf. Repetition in the Kedusha over there, right? Pam Shenis, second time, and he's going to gather together the Jewish people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Patras, from Cush, from Elam, Sumeria, Hamat, islands of the sea. He's going to raise a banner for the nations, and of course, Va'asaf Nivche Yisrael, going to gather together the Jewish people of the four corners, Bekanfo Sa'aretz, from the different corners of the world. Says the Rambam, if he does this, good sign. He's proving his Mashiach. Others say Eliyahu HaNavi is going to have to begin that process. And some say it's going to be part of the entire movement towards Mashiach as well. Okay? That's the Ramban I mentioned already, like the star flashing across the sky, which he gets from Daniel the prophet. Okay? Which I'm going to go right now. Okay, turn over the page. How long do I have? Marvelous, 1 minute. No problem, I got this. I got this. Okay. Says the Chofetz Chaim, but Gam Ketiv, Malachi was the last prophet. And the last prophecy of his, one assumes, is very pertinent to the coming of Mashiach. So he says, Hinei, Anochi Sholech Lechem Et Yal Navi, I am sending you Elijah the prophet. Now he says, notice, he says, V'kashen Nidak Ketiv, if you look very carefully, Nira, you'll see, the Loketiv Loshon Ashalech, I will send you Eliyahu Navi, right? It says Sholeach. I'm sending with a cholam, says the Chofetz Chaim. What's the difference? Sholeach, Ashaleach. Sholeach means in the future at some time, but Malachi didn't say that. Malachi says, I will send, I'm sending now in the present tense. Meaning, says the Chofetz Chaim, that Mashiach can come at any given moment if we merit it. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi in the Gemara talks about a time he actually met Mashiach. He met Mashiach. Imagine that. There was someone in history of Mashiach. And how did he know where to find him? The Gemara says, Eliyahu HaNavi says, he sits by the gates of Rome. So he went to see him. And he says, Shalom, Rabbi. He says, Shalom, Baal Avai. Right? Shalom, son of Levi. That's who he was. And he says, Matai Tabo, when are you coming? And Mashiach says, Hayom. And he jumped up. And he started screaming and shouting. He said, he got so excited. And then he didn't come that day. And he's only a Navi. And the Navi says, what happened with your meeting? And he says, he lied to me. Imagine saying that about Mashiach. Maybe sure a lady can say it. He lied to me. He goes, why did he lie to you? He said, he's coming today. Hayom. He didn't come. Day's over. He says, no, no. The today he spoke about isn't just today. It's the day. Hayom. The day that you're called to Shema. You listen to my voice. You follow Torah. Achishana. I can bring it forward. It's in your hands. We have the ability through our actions to bring Mashiach. Okay, we're going to have to skip the next part. We already said it outside. How do we merit it? So turn to page 10. You can take the sources with you. Says the Sfas Emes, based on many other commentators, one of the best ways to merit the Achishana version of the redemption is through, we work it out, we say every Tisha B'Av. If Sinat Chinam destroyed the temple, then not Avat Chinam. That's free love. We're not into that. That's 1960s. Doesn't talk about free love anywhere. Right? Doesn't talk about that. It's Avat Yisrael. Love of the Jewish people will rebuild it. Right? Mida Kedek and Mida. If it was destroyed through hatred, then love towards your people is going to rebuild it. Okay? Says Rav Dessler, who talks about this extensively as well, what's the benefit of our exile? We know that every generation goes down and down. Yerita Dorot. And here we are at the end of the fourth, if not the fifth exile. We're further away than we've ever been. Our ancestors were great. We're nothing compared to them. Our learning, our Vodus Hashem, Yerut Hashem. So Rav Dessen, and the Chofetz Chaim agrees with this, by the way, and backs this up very beautifully, or maybe the other way around. And he says, it's not about quantity at the end of days, it's about quality. One small action of the years before Mashiach comes, which is going to be a very difficult and challenging generation, as the Mishnah in Sota, I don't have time today, if you look at that Mishnah end of Sota, talks about what it's going to be like before Mashiach comes, gives a very vivid description of that time. He says that any small act in our generation, pre-Messianic generation, is worth so much more. Just turning up to one class, I'm saying, could be worth, in our great-great-grandparent generation, studying the entire year. Because the forces against this happening in our generation are so strong, we have no choice. Daniel the prophet says that before Mashiach comes, atheism is going to sweep through the world. Right? He says, however, we're going to see various groups, cuts as the Rambam on that piece of Daniel. He says there'll be various groups that hold on to Hashem and will stick close to the Jewish people and will stay faithful. A small group. And you'll be mocked, says the Mishnah, the Mishnah in Sota. You'll be mocked if you say you're a God believer and you love Israel and the Jewish people. Will be a source of derision. Imagine that. For hundreds of years, right? You're learned, you're a Jew. Like the Christians were believers, the Muslim believers. And now, what? You keep Shabbos? You're crazy. Right? This is the end of days. We're seeing it today. And that's why Malachi says we'll see a time where children are going to heshiv levat ol avihem to their children. They're going to return the hearts of their fathers. Children are going to influence their parents. Usually it's parents influencing children. And now we see children themselves are going to be influencing their parents. One last idea, if you don't mind. I want to give you just a few signs we're close. I know I've overrun my time, but I started late, so I'm taking liberty. Signs we're close. Bottom of page 11, another sign we're close, besides everything else I've told you, is Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt. Says David HaMelech, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nidchei Yisrael Lechanes. The build of Jerusalem is God, and then the Jewish people are going to return. Says Rashi on this piece, says the Radak, I'm sorry, on this piece, you know Mashiach is coming when you can't afford to buy Yerushalayim. I'm being serious. That's what he says. Yakari said it'd be so expensive. By the 100 years, you think, yes, I was like, it wasn't that. 100 years ago, they couldn't give away Yerushalayim. Now, my mother was born in Israel. She was born in Palestine. My grandmother moved there. I'm like, why do you buy Rehavia? You could have bought a whole swath of land over there. They couldn't give it away. Muslim Tafura was going out of his head trying to get Jews to move to Yerushalayim. And look at this. Exactly as David HaMelech is telling us. Arab nations, page 12. Al Penei Kolachav Nafal. Yishmael is going to fall upon all of his brothers. The Eile told us Yitzchak. We read this last week, right? Says the Balaturim, there's a play over here. When the Nafal Yishmael, when Yishmael goes down, when the Arab nations go down, Yitzchak goes up. So when you see the Arabs have present, we're down, but they go down, we go up. So that's going to be one of the crucial signs which are coming. We'll see that the Arab nations are going to start to be lessened in their power as well.
And their wealth from oil.
It could happen overnight. It can happen overnight. Absolutely. You know, salt was a very, very precious commodity for a long, long time. Right? Why? You preserved food with it, meat with it. For refrigeration, gone. That's another condiment. All the same thing. You can turn around in a second. Kerfai in Yeshua Tashem. Okay, I've come to the end. Thank you all for being part of this wonderful discussion. I hope you enjoyed it. The book will be available online very, very soon. You can look out for that. I wish you all a wonderful day. Thank you.